Good morning. May grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I bid each one of you a warm welcome on this beautiful day that God has given us, and a day where we remember how our Lord Jesus returned back to his heavenly kingdom. We call it Ascension Day. And it is 40 days after Easter, Easter and 40 days after Jesus arose from the dead, and he spent these 40 days on earth before he returned back to his heavenly kingdom. In Luke 24, verses 50 to 51, it says, "And he," meaning Jesus, "led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them, and it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted with them and carried up into heaven." And that is what we still remember today. We could say that this is the final act, or the final physical happening of Jesus' time here on earth, where he ascended back to his heavenly home. So that is what we want to remind us today. I just noticed also before we came in that on your bulletins, on the front is exactly the text that I want to use this morning in Acts chapter 1. So before we get any further in our service, let's bow for a word of prayer, and then the song leaders will lead us in a couple of songs. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, we thank you for a new day you've given to us, and for a night where you've protected us and where you've granted us rest to greet this new day that you have presented to us. This morning also, as we celebrate and remember the return, or we could even say the reuniting of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit back into the Trinity as it was from all eternity. The brief time where the Son left his heavenly home and is now returned. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for that you were willing to do that, to depart your heavenly home, to come to earth, to fulfill the Father's plan, and then to return back to the Father. This morning we ask that you would be with us in our midst within these walls, and even without these walls, those that may be watching this from elsewhere or later on, we pray your blessing upon each one. And may this time serve to encourage us and uplift us, and also remind us of the great love that you have for us. We also pray for those that maybe would have wanted to be here and for whatever circumstances cannot. We also pray for those that your blessing and your presence would be with them also. So as we go into this service in this hour, may you guide us and lead us in our thoughts and in our worship of you. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Our blue hymnal, number 247. He hideth my soul. Number 247.
Our wonderful Savior to be. 297. My Jesus, I love you. Page 297.
So it's been some 5 weeks, a little more than 5 weeks, since we celebrated Easter. And during that same time period, Jesus was still here on earth following his resurrection. For 40 days, he continued to appear to his disciples, showing them that he was alive and teaching them about the kingdom of God. And it wasn't until that 40th day that Jesus finally ascended unto heaven. So what does that mean for us today? We may question, why is Christ's ascension important? So as I said earlier, we want to explore that to some degree this morning. What does ascension mean to us? In Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, we read the account of Jesus going back to the Father. In Acts chapter 1, starting at verse 1 and reading through verse 11, we'll be looking at not all the verses specifically, but I would like to read the first 11 verses this morning. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they had therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time or the season which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So first of all, why it matters that Jesus went back, or why the ascension matters, is because Jesus returned to the Father. And as we profess that God is a Trinity from the beginning of time, and even before the beginning of time, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have always existed together in perfect oneness. But then we could say it was as if the unimaginable happened, that God the Father sent his Son into this world. Jesus left the glories of heaven to enter our dark and broken world. He left his Father's side and came to our side. And in order to do this, he had to take on flesh. He had to take on our humanity to live life as you and I live life here on earth. But then, as I'm sure all of us are aware and know, that his mission was ultimately to die on the cross for our sins. And the night before Jesus went to the cross, he told his disciples, I am come forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. We read that in John 16, verse 28. Jesus summed up his ministry in just those few words, his ministry on this earth. He says that he left, or came forth from the Father into the world, and then returned back to heaven, to his Father. And Jesus must have had this longing to return back into that unity with the Father in his heavenly realm. When Jesus first rose from the dead and he met Mary Magdalene in the garden, he told her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God, John 20, verse 17. Before his death, Jesus set his sights on Jerusalem. We find in Scripture where he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem to complete the task that he had been sent to do, to go to that cross and to give his life. But now that had all was all in the past, that had all been fulfilled. Jesus has risen, had risen, and now he had set his face, we could say, or had set his sights on heaven and that great reunion with his Father. We often talk about an empty cross, or the empty cross, and the empty tomb where Jesus was buried. But do we ever think of the empty earth that we experience or know today? The empty cross tells us that Jesus died. The empty tomb tells us that Jesus arose. He did not stay there. As the angels told the women who came to the tomb on that Easter morning in Matthew 28:6, he is not here, for he is risen. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. Now, someone might wonder, if Jesus rose from the dead never to die again, then where is he? Shouldn't he still be walking among us somewhere? Where does Jesus live? But Jesus is no longer walking this earth. He is no longer here on this earth, because he went back. He returned back to where he came from. We could say the earth is empty of Jesus in that sense, in the physical sense. And the earth bears witness that Jesus returned to heaven in that he is no longer here. Jesus returned to the Father. He came from the Father. He entered into our world. He left the world and returned back to his Father. And Jesus returned to take his proper place on the throne in the kingdom of God. This is what had to happen to fulfill Jesus' rightful place on being on the right hand of God and the throne of his kingdom. Prophet Daniel had a vision of this event, which we can read about in Daniel 7. In verses 13 to 14 of Daniel 7, it says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man come with the clouds of heaven. Excuse me. And came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Daniel saw this Jesus taking his place, his rightful place of power in the kingdom, which will never be destroyed. King Jesus is on the throne today, and he has been given authority, glory, and power. And it was at this ascension, the day that we remember today, that Jesus took his place on the throne as the King of Kings. But there was more that Jesus, before he ascended, he also made a promise. And he promised that he would send the Holy Spirit, who would come and take his place, to be with us, to live with us, to give us strength for a walk in our Christian life. In John 14, verses 16 to 17, before Jesus died on the cross, he told his followers, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit, who would come to fill that void that he would leave when he went back to the Father. He said, this Spirit will come and it will live in you to give you strength to be a living witness, to give you power as a witness for Jesus, to give us peace and to sanctify us for God's exclusive purpose. And Jesus said, or told his followers, that this could not happen unless he went away. The Spirit could not come as long as he was physically present with them. John 16, verse 7, he said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you, or he said, it is advantageous for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And we're not going to get into that in depth today, because that is Pentecost, which we will be celebrating, Lord willing, in 10 days from now, on the Sunday that we remember the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, as Jesus had promised before he went back to the Father. And when that day happened, as Jesus had promised, there were many that were gathered together in Jerusalem that also witnessed this event. And people were astounded as to what was happening. Or they asked, what is going on here? What does this all mean? And then if we read in Acts chapter 2, where Peter explained, he says, "This Jesus whom God raised up from the dead, whereof we are all witnesses, therefore being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear." So Peter says, this Jesus who has returned, who left and went back to the Father, he now has shed out the Holy Spirit. But we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves in the sequence of events here. Basically, Peter told him about that empty cross, the empty tomb, and now, at that point and today, the empty earth. He told him Jesus had died, Jesus rose again, Jesus ascended and returned back to his rightful place. And because Jesus fulfilled all of that, and then he also fulfilled his promise that he would not leave us alone, though he physically left, that he poured out his Holy Spirit into all those that believe in him. Before we go any further in the message this morning, we want to take a few moments in prayer to bring to God whatever is on our heart, and also to thank him and to praise him for that great gift of salvation. All the events that took place exactly the way it had been prophesied, exactly the way that God willed it, and Jesus followed through on all of them. So at this time, if you're physically able, I invite you to kneel with me in a time of solid prayer. May the Lord hear our prayers and be gracious unto us.
A blue hymnal, number 505, Footprints of Jesus. Number 505. For those who are able to stand, please.
Footprints.
just reminded as we were singing that song, the following in the footprints of Jesus. And as he came to give an example, to live a life as an example for us. And we know that he has returned to the Father, and yet he has given us instruction to follow in his footsteps as we walk through life. And we have been left, touched a little bit on his sending of the Holy Spirit. He has left us in good hands. Sometimes we hear the term of, you're in good hands. I think it's especially when it comes to the terms of medical care, someone who is sick or in dire need of medical care. Such a person is often assured or encouraged by, you are in the best of care, you are in good hands. And I believe that is also applies to us, how Jesus has left us in the good hands of the Holy Spirit. As an illustration, I want to use the story of a mother who would take her son to nursery school. She would kiss him goodbye and would always say to him, "Darling, I'm leaving you in good hands, okay?" And as time goes on and life goes on, she does this every day that she takes her son to school. And then many years later, when the son is in his middle ages and his mother is now aged and experiencing dementia, the son took his dear mom to a care home. And as he said goodbye, he remembered the words that his mom had told him or said to him when he was very young. He then kissed her and said, "Mom, I'm leaving you in good hands." And though the mother could hardly remember things because of her impairment in her mind, she held on to her son's hand, and tears began streaming down her face as she remembered. She remembered her own words from years ago, "Darling, I'm leaving you in good hands." Now, when Jesus ascended to heaven, he had completed his earthly ministry, but he began another ministry, and that ministry of being our high priest. His priestly ministry of prayer and intercession for his own, for his people. Now, anytime someone tells me they are praying for me, it is encouraging. It is a comfort to know that others are supporting me. And I'm sure it is the same for you. Knowing that your Christian brothers and sisters are upholding you in prayer as we go through life. When we go through times of need or times of trouble, where we need encouragement, where we need to lift each other up before God in intercessory prayer. But the ascension of Jesus tells us of something even more amazing, in that Jesus himself prays for us. In Romans 8, verse 31 to 34, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." This Jesus who rose again, who died and rose again and returned back to his Father, we are told he is at the right hand of the Father and he is making intercession for us. He pleads our cause, our case before the Father. Jesus prays that we grow strong as a Christian and we stand against temptation. And when we do make a mistake, when we do sin, he prays for us and he pleads for us before the Father in our defense. 1 John 2, verse 1. So my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You know, on our own strength, we so often fail. But we need to remember this, that Jesus, who is on the right hand of the Father, intercedes. He stands in our spot, we could say, or he stands up for us. Isn't that wonderful? Now, if Jesus had not ascended back to heaven, he could not be our intercessor at the right hand of the Father. But there's more. Jesus said he is coming back. Jesus is coming back for his church, the believers. When Jesus left this earth to return to the Father, he did not leave us permanently. He promised that he would return. In John 14, verses 1 to 3, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." You know, it doesn't make sense that Jesus would go and prepare a place for you if he wasn't planning on coming back as well. What would be the point of going and preparing a place if there's no intent of ever having someone live there? When Jesus ascended unto heaven, the disciples looked intently into the skies he was going. In Acts chapter, in our text, in verse 11, these disciples were looking intently up in the sky and suddenly there's these two men, or what appeared to be men, dressed in white, stood beside them. And they asked them a question. They say, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven?" Standing up into heaven. "This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall also come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Now, ascension means that Jesus has left this earth, but he is also coming back. So that, where does that leave us? Jesus also gave an assignment. We have work to do. Jesus is coming again. And so we are not supposed to be standing around idly, gazing at the sky, just waiting for him to return. We are to be busy about God's work, what his plan is for us in the here and now, to further his kingdom, sharing Christ so others might follow him, and following Christ so that we might share him, because he is coming back. There is an old story or a legend, and this is somebody's imagination, but it is still, I believe, drives home a point. So where Jesus is arriving in heaven right after the ascension, and he is welcomed by the hosts of heaven, by the angels. And the angel Gabriel asked Jesus, "You suffered much, dying for the sins of mankind. Does everyone down on earth know it?" "Oh no," replies the Savior, "just a handful of folks in Jerusalem and Galilee know about it." "Well, Master," continues Gabriel, "what is your plan for everyone to know of your great love?" And Jesus replies, he says, "I asked all my apostles to carry the message into all the world. I told them to tell others, who in turn will tell others, until the last person on earth, in the farthest corners, the farthest reaches of the earth, has heard the story." And the angel Gabriel's face clouds, for he spots a flaw in the plan, or so he thinks. And he questions, what if after a while Peter forgets and he goes back to fishing? And James and John and Andrew. And suppose Matthew returns to his tax booth in Capernaum and all the others lose their zeal and just don't tell others, what then? And after a pause comes the calm voice of Jesus. He says, Gabriel, I have no other plan. That is the only, one and only plan. You know, when we look around us in the world today, there is seemingly nothing but trouble and distress. And it would be easy for us to get discouraged. If we look around us, it's easy to get down and to get discouraged. But that's where these truths about the ascension give us this great hope. We may not talk so much about the ascension as we do about the cross or the resurrection, but it is still such a vital part of our Christian faith. The cross is empty because Jesus died. The tomb is empty because Jesus arose. The earth is empty because Jesus ascended. And because Jesus ascended, we can take comfort in these truths. Jesus is back in his rightful place in the Trinity with the Father. Jesus has taken his rightful place on the throne, where he has been given all authority. As John 3:35 says, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things unto his hand. Jesus has poured out his Holy Spirit into the hearts of all believers, which we will again celebrate in a few days, Lord willing. And Jesus prays and intercedes for us constantly. And then Jesus will come back. In verses 9 to 11 of our text, I want to reread that. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. And a cloud received him out of their sight, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So then these angels, when they question, why are you standing here? It was a reminder to them, it is a reminder to us, to take our eyes off the skies and to turn our eyes to the mission. Yes, we are to watch and pray for Jesus' return. But our focus is to spread the gospel. Because when Jesus returned, he passed that on to his body, the church. That's us. Heaven will come when the time is right, when it is the Father's will. But right now, there is work here on earth. The angels told the disciples that this same Jesus who ascended would return in the same way he left. Now, I don't believe that that means that it'll be exactly the same events, or needn't be, like rewinding a tape to play it over again. But rather, there will be similarities. Scripture tells us that Christ's return will be personal in that it will be Jesus. He's not going to be sending someone else. It will be Jesus who will return. It will be visible, for all will see him return. And he will return bodily. It will be Jesus who is coming back. Every eye will see him, and he will return in his resurrected body. In the verses, the closing verses of our text today, we could say present the entire church age in a very brief form. It began when Christ ascended, and it will extend through to when he returns. But in between that time, we need to fulfill the mission as Christ's witnesses in this world. The angel's question to the disciples or the apostles is as relevant today as it was when they first asked it. Why are you standing there? There is work to do. We are not called to be a church standing or sitting or even lying down, but rather a church that is alive and on the move. Jesus had given his disciples their marching orders. But before they marched, they first had to wait. There was a series of events that was still going to happen, as we will be celebrating in the days to come. They had to wait for the giving of the Spirit who would empower them for the task, which they also obeyed and they followed. And that applies to us today also. That waiting period is over. The Spirit has come. Jesus lived here on earth, and as I've said, he died, he rose again, and he ascended. He ascended to heaven to complete everything that needed to be done. But then he called his church to take over. We are called to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. It is a job that has been given to us, that has been entrusted to us, and it is the most important job in the world. We are to witness to the power of the Holy Spirit in advancing God's kingdom, to be in that spiritual battle and winning others to Christ. And as I alluded to earlier on, it is on our own strength and our own power, we won't go far. But when we rely on that power of the Holy Spirit that God has given, then we will have success. And if we would take it historically, as the gospel is to be spread to the ends of the earth, and we could say that we are in that part of the ends of the earth. The gospel has already moved from Jerusalem, and it has grown outward to all parts of the world. And now we are part of that glorious mission of bringing people to the gospel in these ends of the earth. And just as the early church moved out from their center, which was Jerusalem, we can start where God has placed us. And we can advance or move the gospel out from where we have been placed. We can share the gospel within our own community. And then, of course, we can partake in the worldwide mission of the church through our giving and our prayers and willingness to go wherever God has called us to go. And that would be my encouragement for all of us today as we celebrate this day of ascension, of where Jesus returned. But he didn't leave it. It didn't end there. It didn't leave it there. As we've been talking about the promise that he will return, but it is also that he left and he passed on the torch, if you will, to his church to further the kingdom. And let's be those willing hands and feet that Jesus wants us to be. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we come before you at the close of this Ascension Day service. And Lord, I just thank you for that awesome gift of salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. But Lord, I also pray for each one here that is hearing this message, and myself included, that you have a task for us, and that we take this task seriously, and that we apply ourselves to do your will. That you can use us and you can mold us into you want us to be, that we would have willing feet to go where you want us to go and willing hands to do the tasks you have called us to do, so that others may be drawn to you and that your kingdom may grow and be filled. Lord, we also pray for those who are sick and suffering this morning, those who have experienced loss in their families, and we know there's, again, in this community, so suddenly where people are called from this life into eternity. Lord, we pray your hand of comfort on those people, those families. And Lord, as we go from here, may you give us the joy, and may you give us that living water flowing freely through us that comes from you, so that others may experience that joy and that excitement of being a child of God. Lord, bless us as we depart from our gathering here this morning, and go with us as we go out into the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For all of the things that are on your heart, again, we can take to God in prayer at any time, not only here in church, but at this time, again, if you're able, would you kneel with me in a time of solemn prayer? May the Lord hear our prayers and be gracious unto us. Amen.
Again in the blue hymnal, page 501, when we all get to heaven. Page 501, for those who are able to be standing in the same place.
Wonderful way to close a message this morning when we all get to heaven and we'll sing and shout to the glory of our Savior. This morning, we've come to the close of the message, and I want to use Ephesians chapter 3, verses 4 to 21 as a benediction this morning, which is maybe a little different than the usual. But in Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 21, it says, "For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in earth, heaven and earth is named, that he should grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Again, thank you for coming, and may you go in peace with the Lord.